Welcome back to Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. We are here with an off-season edition. I'm Ross Bolin. I'm here with Veronica Ruck.
Hey.
And Barrett Dudley.
Good morning.
You could follow us on iTunes and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave a review and tell all your friends who watch Game of Thrones about our podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Clams and Cockles and email us at clamsandcockles@gmail.com.
We're like a top 10 Game of Thrones podcast. So
we are. You know. We are like a top 10 Game of Thrones podcast.
Yeah, we're up there. So
happy to be back. Veronica has a honey coffee tea potion going on here.
It's not that weird. It's tea with honey.
She's ill.
I'm ill.
She has an illness.
It's not a potion.
Email us ideas for other stuff you'd like us to talk about during the off season. We're obviously going to be doing these episodes periodically, without warning, and probably with very little planning. Getting into what we want to talk about this episode, and we apologize that it took a few weeks to get to it. We had some vacation time going on, and we needed time to fully process the season as a whole, but. First thing we want to talk about, where does season 6 stand for you amongst the other seasons? Barrett, we'll start with you.
I mean, it's up there at the top. I would say I was actually thinking about this the other day. If you could only take 3 seasons of any TV show ever with you on, like, you know, a desert island or whatever, which 3 would I take if I chose Game of Thrones? Side note,
desert
I would probably
island with access to 3.
You get three seasons of a TV show. So I would choose Seinfeld in the end. But if I was choosing Game of Thrones, I would probably choose seasons. I think 1, 2, and 6. But yeah, I mean, it was awesome.
Why season 2?
I don't have a good reason. Just because it came after season 1, so it feels like,
yeah,
it feels like it's probably rife with Easter eggs and stuff that we missed, and
yes,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but season 6 was incredible. It was the very best or close to it.
I think it was the best. I think it was my favorite season. I think overall. I was telling that to one of our coworkers, Christina. She's been, like, watching all of Game of Thrones right now and updating me the whole time. And I'm like, the seasons, just keep waiting. Like, season 6 is so good. I know you're getting spoilers, but it's good anyway.
Yeah, didn't she just finish?
She just finished it, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, seasons 1, 3, and 6.
That's what happened in 3?
That's Red Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I think you got to go with.
Yeah, for me, it's really tough to pick between season 1 and season 6 as my favorite. Like, season 1 is what spurred me to read all the books. And then season 6 is the first season since season 1 that I got to watch in the dark, like blind, with no idea what was about to happen. And then obviously just season 6 was just really, really, really well done. We can go through some of the finer moments from season 6 to kind of relive it all. Number 1 on my personal list is Jon Snow coming back to life, just because it was so long talked about. Like, it was that, like, long cliffhanger the whole off season where it was like, are we seriously about to lose another main character? So him being given back to us was obviously a huge part of this season. And then the whole season pretty much revolved around him. At least some, like, the most of the major parts of the season revolved around him. After that, I'd have to go with, like, one of the cooler parts to me was Melisandre's reveal as an old saggy, gross witch.
Which, like, never became relevant again. They were just like, well, this is here, and then she never...
You know what I was thinking about, too, is the second red woman we were introduced to in Marine that is there with Tyrion, mm-hmm. that never really played a part again.
No.
Which was weird to me. I thought she was going to be bigger. And that was like an actress that I recognized.
That is true. That is true.
So I don't know. Maybe next season.
I didn't realize that actress had a face, so I didn't recognize her. But
oh, she had a pretty face.
I see what you're doing there.
She had a pretty face.
Biebs.
Biebs.
I know. Boobies.
No, she looked like a really nice lady.
Great personality.
You are right. I am surprised that was not a bigger deal as well. I still feel like all of that, like, you know, all those red ladies, they come from, and all the voodoo and magic all comes from Ashai.
Voodoo.
all the magic world seems to kind of be big over there in Ashai.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they don't ever tell us a little bit more about that, or if we don't ever get to go over there for some purpose in the show, I hope that in one of the 14 Game of Thrones spinoffs HBO does, one of them focuses on that, because it'd be pretty sweet.
I really am rooting for these spinoffs.
Wait, is there talk of that?
They have to happen. We can talk about that later.
Okay. All right, so as far as, like, most emotional moment in this season goes... it has to be between, like, Hodor's story reveal, Cersei blowing up the Sept at the end, like, Jon and Sansa being reunited, Ramsay getting his face eaten off by his own dogs in front of Sansa. But I still have to go with Hodor as the most emotional. I think that was the most emotional part of the whole show in any season for me so far. Like, the most powerful scene.
Really?
That was just, yeah, that was, like, super heartbreaking.
I mean, like, it was sad, but I don't know. Can I say, like Hodor's still, like, kind of minor compared to all these other characters. I know, like, I like him. He's nice, but I just,
well,
I don't know.
That dead.
Wasn't, that, I know, that wasn't, like.
You're just a Hodor hater.
No, I'm not a hater. I like him. Liked.
You also had Khaleesi burning all of the Dothraki.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that was tight. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, I totally forgot
all
about
the,
that.
All the cows.
Yeah. Yes, that was very cool.
I feel like that was one of the biggest.
Along with her burning the slave masters' ships.
We learned how White Walkers were created. How
we
they
did.
Were created.
We did. The Hound came back.
The return of the Hound.
Nobody knows why, but he's back.
I would say I'm with you. I think that Hodor reveal was that to me was the most epic scene of
really?
The season. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this is like one of those things. I kind of knew I was gonna admit it, and everybody would be like, "What? No."
That you didn't really care.
I mean, I cared, but I feel like not as much as anybody else cared.
I mean, it was because not only was it this huge reveal of how this character came to be, and it was really emotional because Hodor saves them in revealing it, but it also opened up this entire new realm of what Bran is able to do.
Right.
That we're still not super clear about.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's definitely, and speaking of what Bran can do, also one of my other favorite scenes from the season was him seeing everything once they're escaped.
Oh, right, like right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that super, was cool. Super fast forward.
So we see the Mad King and we see the wildfire. And
that was cool. It was cool to see the Mad King in general just because we never had before, I guess.
Yep.
I still don't know if the best, I guess, if it counts as one scene, I'm not sure that it does, but the best scene to me this season was the beginning of the episode with the what's the name of the song that's awesome that plays the whole time leading up to Cersei blowing up the Sept?
I don't know this name.
The something seven of the some fuck.
Oh, I didn't know we had a name for it.
I didn't.
No,
know
there
that.
Is a name for it. Like the whole.
Didn't you download it?
Well, the whole there's like a soundtrack for the whole season on iTunes.
Oh.
That I've been jamming. But that scene to me, with you know, the slow piano build up to the Sept explosion.
Yeah,
that
was the
your
most
favorite?
Powerful. Yeah.
That one was
that was
the most well done, I would
right.
say.
The
yeah.
song is called Light of the Seven.
I weirdly really liked this one of the Yara and Theon scenes. Like I think when they were like rushing the fuck out of there after the Kingsmoot, and it was like I don't know, it's really weird to put that as like one of my favorites because it was not that as significant as the others.
When they're bailing
really,
with the
yeah,
ships?
I just thought it was cool. I just really liked it. That was well done.
There was also John hanging his betrayers all at once. Which was apparently not interesting to anyone.
Or how about, I'll tell you what. I think I got the most tingles, like the most like chills when we at the first half of the Tower of Joy scene.
Oh right.
Oh, when we thought
when you
we
realize
were gonna...
when you realize that there it was building up to
yeah I screamed a bunch during that.
And then the amazing probably the best sword fight that's ever been on Game of Thrones. That whole battle was
one, the Tower of Joy battle.
Yeah, with the Sword of the Morning.
Mm-hmm. What other good sword? The only other sword fight that's popping into my head is Ned Stark versus Jaime Lannister, which gets ruined by one of those random soldiers stabbing Ned in the back of the leg with a spear.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot of like epic one-on-one sword fights like that can think of. And I guess that one, the Tower of Joy sword fight wasn't actually one-on-one. Well, it was when
small
it was Ned and that
people.
Dude going at
small
it.
Small amounts of people.
The Sword of the Morning. I just loved it because of the dual swords.
That whole thing was really cool.
I wish we had a character that permanently wielded dual swords. I feel like...
You guys are boys. Like, I was like, okay.
We are.
Like,
we are boys.
Like, I did not care about...
statement
of
fact.
I don't care about watching sword fights at
all. Well, okay, but it was more than that. It was...
I don't like violence.
It was like...
That's not what I said. I just don't...
It also was this huge scene where we knew what was supposed to be behind
scene,
it. And
the whole rest of the scene was really... I agree. I was, like, really excited about it, and I was, like, screaming at my TV. But just the sword fight in general, like, I can't picture it in my head. Like, I don't remember having, like, an emotional reaction to just, like, the fight.
What I'm saying is that my emotional reaction wasn't just because it was
I
a cool
see.
Sword
just
fight. It was
connected.
It's the whole thing that, you know, begins in season one where everybody's perspective on what was happening during Robert's Rebellion is completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the Lannisters have a different story.
Everybody thinks that Jaime is a Kingslayer when he was saving thousands of people. Like everybody thinks that Rhaegar was raping Lyanna when she wanted to be with him, and these his best friends, his Kingsguard, were there to protect her.
Right.
To protect her and the child.
Wait, I have a question. Does Ned know that like she was there willingly?
We don't know yet. I don't think
we might never know that.
Okay.
I don't think he cared one way or the other.
That's also not confirmed that she was there willingly, but it's widely
accepted. It seems,
yeah.
I think that's all but confirmed.
Mm-hmm. But so I thought that, you know, showing us more of Robert's Rebellion and that dynamic was really cool.
One of the scenes that gave me, like you said, that kind of gave me chills was Arya assassinating Walder Frey. Just because it was like, we finally got to see, like, she takes that face off and we finally know, all right, she's got all these abilities and she's going to be doing some cool assassinating for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I have like a list of everything that happened in the season, and I mean, it's just, it's insane.
It's a really fucking long list.
It's it's a very, very long
list.
Like,
I tried to pick something specific from the Battle of the Bastards episode, but it's just the whole damn episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole episode. You can't even really pick something specific from
that one. I
think that
was my favorite episode. And it's funny, because before, I was like, I don't really care that much about watching Battle. It's boring to me. But I think that was my favorite episode.
Well, and it's one of the... It's the only episode that got... we can get into this. Game of Thrones got 23 Emmy nominations, leading all shows. And the one that they got writing for a drama series, which is Benioff and Weiss, was for Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
They also got directing for a drama series for Battle of the Bastards by the Miguel Sapochnik dude. And directing for a drama series for the Door episode, which was directed by Jack Bender.
The two directors that we talked about all season, the one that had done some lost episodes, Jack Bender,
right,
and Sapochnik, however you say his last name.
Yeah,
those are the guys that got nominated.
Like super obvious picks. Come on, those were going to be the ones that got nominated.
The set piece, what they call the set piece episodes, are typically always the ones that get nominated, the ones that have like that are just totally epic and major battles and require. If you haven't watched the little like 15-minute segment on HBO Go about filming the Battle of the Bastards, you need to go check
it
out.
I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't? Yeah. It was up right after the episode was.
Thanks for telling me, guys. Well, it's not like we do a Game of Thrones podcast
together.
It was on
there right after.
I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube, so we can post a link
Cool.
After when this episode.
We'll post it on our Twitter handle.
On our Twitter, at Clams and Cockles.
At Clams and Cockles.
We
need to apply to get verified.
yeah.
We do. We need that check mark.
But I'm a little surprised that the finale wasn't one of the episodes nominated for something, especially after that, you know, the 15-minute first scene.
Was that the finale?
Yeah.
Okay. I was having I haven't gone back and rewatched the whole season since the finale because I've been trying to hold off as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm like getting into all these other shows, and there's just so much fucking good TV to watch.
So much.
I'm on Mr. Robot right now, and it's really, really good.
Season
one on Amazon Prime. Yeah,
season one is awesome.
I'm also watching Marcella on Netflix, which is really, really good. Just in case anybody out there needs some shit to watch. What the fuck were we talking about? What was my point here?
We were talking about how the finale.
Oh, so I haven't rewatched it yet. So I was trying to remember that earlier. If that was the finale, I feel like this season was so much, like it was so much to take in, that it's kind of all still a blur to me.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to going and rewatching it all the way through again.
So I actually haven't looked at the Emmy noms. So what else did we get nominated?
It got nominated for Best Drama.
Okay.
Dinklage and Kit Harington both got nominated for Supporting Actor in a Drama.
Okay.
And Emilia Clarke, Lena Headey, and Macy Williams all got nominated for Supporting Actress in a Drama. They're like three of the five people on the list, which is pretty hardcore. This was the most interesting one to me. Max Van Sydow got nominated for Guest Actor.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do anything. We didn't even have to act. Well, he basically just stood there and looked cool, and he had like, what, three lines? I can't even remember shit that he said. I just couldn't believe he got, there must have been a shallow pool for Guest Actor, because I get that he's like a highly respected actor with a long career or whatever, but that just seemed like a gimme to me.
Yeah, I mean, he was, that's the three-eyed raven but I thought he was good. I think I kind of wish that had gone to his name's slipping my mind right now.
Oh, I know the guy that was with the Hound.
Yeah, the one episode guy.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought you were talking about
too. Shit, we need to look that up. I can never remember that dude's name, but he's the best.
Yeah,
he's so good.
He was pretty awesome as well.
His name is... Ah, fuck it. We'll find it later. I'll tweet it out.
Ian McShane.
What?
Ian McShane.
McShane. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Saved the whole podcast.
The other stuff... He was also pretty good.
Was writing for a drama series for Battle of the Bastards, like I said. Directing for a drama series for Battle of the Bastards and The Door. There's obviously some other ones. You can. We'll tweet out a link to the full listing, but those were the big ones.
23 nominations for Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
that's so insane. Many.
Is that a record?
I don't think it's the record for the most, but it's, you know, obviously it's up there. It's a lot that we'll take home. I mean, okay, between Kit Harington and Peter Dinklage, who would you pick for supporting actor?
I think Peter Dinklage.
I have to go Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, I don't think you can pick against him.
I want to give the edge to Kit Harington
that's how I felt.
Because this season was his season, and he was really good at it. But Peter Dinklage, I mean, he carried that entire part of the show this year.
Well, and he's just, I feel like over the course of the series, his character has had so much depth. And he's had to be so good every season. You know what I mean? I know this nomination is only for this season, but I have to consider the rest of the show as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's hard not to. Honestly, maybe with just this season, it could be Kit.
Right.
I could, yeah.
Yeah.
But overall.
But just,
I know.
I think about what scenes stick out to me from either of them. And, you know, with Dinklage, you've got like, he's making you laugh when he's trying to say that the city's in good shape as fireballs are hitting the pyramid and he's standing there talking to Daenerys.
Right.
And then the scenes, I know a lot of fans didn't like him, but the scenes where he's trying to get a rise out of Missandei and Grey Worm are really, really good. And then the scene with him and Daenerys when she asks him to be the hand, like
I'm glad you just mentioned that, because that was one of my favorite scenes this season too.
And then
with him with the dragons too, that was
Keep in mind though, Peter Dinklage has already won Outstanding Supporting Actor last year in 2015.
Yep,
and in 2011.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying like. For who might actually win it, it wouldn't shock me if Kit Harington took it this year.
I agree.
But I still think that, you know, when I think back on the season, like, you know, for the most part, Jon Snow's just a bunch of valiant brooding, you know?
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage has like a shit ton of range.
I mean, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's a hell of a lot easier than it is to be Tyrion.
Yeah.
The harder, like, either one of those guys get picked, I think everybody wins, and I don't think either one of them would have hard feelings.
No,
I think
harder
decision is between Emilia Clarke, Lena Headey, and Macy Williams.
Yeah.
Because that's, all three of them crush those roles, especially this season.
Yep.
I would say Emilia Clarke would be my third pick out of the three, and Macy Williams would probably be my first.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Lena's my first.
She was very, very good.
I would put Emilia Clarke.
Whoever loses out of those three, assuming that one of them wins, mm-hmm. The other nominees are not very important to me. But I feel like that's the one where there's going to be some hurt because mm-hmm. they all did so damn good.
Yeah.
And I'm just scared of all of them.
I would be sad. I feel like I would want Macy Williams to win, but I don't think she was. I think Lena Headey's the best one this season. Like she did so much shit that like last fucking episode when she's like burning this. I don't know. I feel like this whole season she went.
This was
so
her.
Much shit.
I think based off of this season, I think I would go Macy Williams as well.
You would
one,
but it's hard
because I feel like she got to do the most. Kind of like what I was saying with Jon Snow. Like, Daenerys is just Daenerys.
Yeah.
I've seen her give all those speeches before.
Exactly.
Like, I've seen her, like, be the strong-willed, you know, like, conqueror before.
There was nothing new about her
with a lot of,
really.
Right.
But with
I
a lot
agree.
Of, you know, emotion as well. And Lena Headey, she's actually done Cersei better in some of the early... We've gotten to see more... crazy Cersei in earlier
seasons.
We've
seen versions of that, yeah.
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 Okay.
Whereas Macy Williams, like, had to be all over the place in all the scenes with Lady Crane. Her getting to watch her watch the play was really cool. I'd give it to Macy this year out of those three.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around her being 19 years old. She's like a
10-year-old
in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's why it would be so nice for her. She's, like, so young and, like, I think, yeah. I can see it going either way. I don't think Amelia.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with all these child stars from Game of Thrones like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
What if Tommen ends up being the bad boy that gets addicted to coke?
No.
Wait, is he dead?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Did the no jump free dive off of?
Oh fuck. Okay. Oh man, I totally forgot about that. That is the funniest, maybe the funniest scene this season, and it shouldn't be funny at all. The best suicide of any show I've ever seen.
I mean, just totally committed.
It was so good. Oh, I totally forgot about that. I wish I had left that on my list of meaningful moments. That was really, really well done, too, the way they left the camera on the window.
On the window, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that. But yeah, so if you want to see the full list of Emmy noms, we'll send them out on Twitter, or you could just use the Google machine. But it'd probably be better if you follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, I was like, why are you telling them that?
The other big news that came out this past week was that HBO officially said that season 7 of Game of Thrones will debut in summer of 2017, so they're holding it back later. For the most ironic reason of all time, the weather. Because it's not going to be cold enough for Benioff and Weiss to shoot. They need it, I guess now that winter is here, they need it to be as cold as fucking possible outside.
Yeah.
And so they have to hold it back to actually get the effect they want from the cold.
Yeah, the interesting quote from them about that was that they said that they even want to get some drearier weather and some gray skies in the sunny places that they shoot. So
yeah, that's gonna be tough.
So I'm just interested to see how they depict like King's Landing
right
next where, season. Where like, is it like getting cold there?
Because Winterfell and the Wall are the two places where I don't know that it could look any colder than it already has yeah, the whole time. Yeah, but sure. There's places like King's Landing, you know, Dorne, other places where we don't see any effects of mm-hmm. winter really. So it's good. Yeah, you're exactly right. Like it's going to be interesting to see if those how they're going to need crazy CGI for some of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's true. And the places where they shoot the northern scenes, like Iceland and Northern Ireland, they usually start production in July. So even though those are cold places, they're not as cold in the summer, obviously. Mm. So they need to wait until like the weather starts to turn a little bit.
Such a bummer.
I wonder if the actors and actresses are like, fuck.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's making me think that this is totally off topic, but it's making me think of when Kate Upton did her like infamous like Antarctica swimsuit cover shoot or whatever. Yeah. I think it was Antarctica.
Yeah.
There was like that behind the scenes footage of her having to like take off this massive like coat that kept her warm to like run out in a bikini really quick so they could get one like two shots, and then she had to run and put the coat back on to not freeze to death. I miss Kate Upton.
So here's an interesting thing with the new premiere date now being in the summer instead of in the spring like it usually is. Game of Thrones will not be able to be nominated for any Emmys next year.
I know. I read that too. Yeah.
Which is weird.
So the other part of the announcement was that there's only going to be 7 episodes in this season, yeah. In season 7, which is I want to be upset about it, but I trust that they know what they're doing.
I'm upset about it.
No,
I'm upset
about it.
That makes me want to wail like Dwight Schrute when he loses Angela.
Okay. I'm fully upset about it.
I kind of wish you would do that now.
Like that.
Isn't he crying in the stairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that was the reason they couldn't be nominated for drama, is because it wasn't long enough. Now it's considered like a miniseries or
something. No, it's because of the air dates.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
But so then they can get nominated
in
2018 again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll just win all those.
Yeah.
I think
but they're on like this massive streak of never not being nominated at the Emmys.
Right. Okay. I did see this list of it was like I can't remember who put it out, so sorry that I can't give you credit, but it said it was like a list of TV shows that are happy Game of Thrones won't be able to be nominated in 2017.
Yeah, it's like giving everybody else that has a show right now like, a little chance.
It's like
next
Michael
year.
Jordan leaving the NBA for
2 years, yeah.
When my Houston Rockets went back to back. Now we don't get the credit we deserve. It's ridiculous.
Hey, those banners are hanging from the rafters. Can't take those away.
No, they can't. What else? What else we want to cover? I don't have shit. My list is over. Don't look at me. I can no longer lead us.
Well,
first of all, when are the Emmys, Barrett? Do you know?
I don't, actually. September, I want to say?
I don't know. I should know.
September. Yeah.
September 18th.
Cool.
Well, we'll have to come back and discuss more after
Game of
Thrones.
We should do
it
before and after that.
Oh, good
sweeps.
Point. Good point.
Sweeps the awards.
You know what's been nominated a lot that I didn't really think would be is Better Call Saul. Are either of y'all even watching that?
Nope. Yes, but I got distracted, and so I still have a bunch of episodes to watch of season two still.
The reason it's an interesting concept for a show to me is because it's the exact same. Like, Breaking Bad was so good that when it ended, I was like, please God, find a way to continue doing something similar. And they had Better Call Saul mm-hmm. ready to go. I'm wondering what, you know, I mean, there's so many damn characters in Game of Thrones and so much opportunity.
Yeah, so we can talk about spinoffs real quick. So the HBO is, and the showrunners have not said anything at all regarding this type of,
and they won't,
and they won't. But I'm pretty sure that Benioff and Weiss will move on to their next projects after the super successful run,
right?
But there's no reason that other people couldn't come in and take a crack. I mean, here's the thing: HBO has this property now is one of, if not the most lucrative television properties that exists currently.
Well, it has to be the most.
So they would be absolutely insane not to try to do something else with it, especially when there are 10,000 pages or whatever it is of like backstory and source material to go pull from.
Yeah.
There's so George R. R. Martin has also written those tales of Sir Dunk and
he's
Egg
written
or whoever.
So many weird little short books and shit about this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite idea that has been floated out there is I would like a spinoff that's all about basically the 20 years prior to where Game of Thrones started.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
or
leading
yeah,
up to everything
I would
we've
love
seen.
That.
I would like to see like Mad King, Robert's Rebellion, like all of that
mm-hmm.
play out. That would be pretty sweet.
And I'm betting
they already have young Ned Stark cast.
That's
if
true.
They made a fucking Entourage movie, surely they can find a way to make a movie out of Game of Thrones somehow.
A movie?
I don't know if I like that.
I don't think.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying that once this series ends, they're going to go all in on getting as much money out of it as they possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, we know Hollywood. Like, they're not going to leave change on the table, even though HBO does have usually more integrity than most.
It's well, the difference. Okay, with the Entourage movie. And, like, the Sex and the City movie.
I refuse to watch the Entourage movie.
Those are, okay, but those are, like, the stories
it's
didn't
got
end
Radicals
as much.
Movie.
Like, I feel like when this is over, the story's over. So it would have to be, like, prequels.
Be a prequel, yeah.
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 Hopefully better than the Star Wars prequels. Or at least the first three. Those are garbage. I don't need a Game of Thrones Jar Jar Binks running around in my head. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what storyline I would pick if I got to pick what they go to for the next for the offshoot from this.
Or we could just do like a buddy cop series with Arya and the Hound.
Yes, yeah. That would be nice.
That could be pretty funny.
I'm wondering if first, do you know, neither y'all might not know the answer to this, but how the contracts work for a show like this for the main characters when they know they're going to need X amount of seasons
mm-hmm.
and it's super successful? Like, do they have, you know, like Lena Headey, Emilia Clarke, Peter Dinklage, Kit Harington, like, do they have them locked in so they can't walk? Or could one of them be like, fuck you, I'm not filming to you, give me $30 million?
Well, they have them, they currently do have them locked in. They just signed new deals, I believe, for the next two seasons, for season 7 and 8, where all of the main characters, so that's, you know, Lena Headey, Peter Dinklage, Emilia Clarke, Kit Harington, will get $500,000 an episode.
Okay.
But during negotiations, could one of them have been like,
yeah,
nah, I'm good. I'll do it for $1 million an episode.
Right.
Yeah, I guess they could have, but then you're kind of screwing over your co-stars by doing that.
Yeah.
Become an issue with other shows where like one person was a holdout that delayed a season. I'm just trying to think of things that could potentially ruin our lives and make us have to wait longer.
But I think I just get the feeling that everybody knows what they have here.
That they're a part of something special.
Yeah, and it's not like fucking Katherine Heigl leaving Grey's Anatomy, you know?
Yeah.
Throwing Katherine Heigl under the bus.
Like, it's not, you know, it's like, yeah, fuck off. We can do this without you. We'll just kill you off. You can't just...
Right.
So I think that all these actors are now... It's HBO. It's one of the most popular shows of all time. It's hugely prestigious, and they are getting paid. So,
and HBO has already shown a willingness to replace people, without any explanation.
Yep,
not those main characters.
I know, so but like Dario Naharis is probably the biggest character, right? That's been replaced. Well, the mountain three times. Good God,
the three-eyed raven replaced. Children of the Forest replaced.
The Children of the Forest were replaced?
Well, the main girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, yeah.
Tommen was replaced.
Tommen.
Well, Tommen also played like two other Lannisters before he played Tommen, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Anything else y'all want to touch on? I got nothing. Like I said, I'm done.
Cool. What would be cool is, you know, if I want all of these Game of Thrones actors to go on and have great movie careers and all of that. But if they don't, I will be really, really happy to see any of them pop up in any other HBO show, which they're now all in the HBO family, which means that they're going to get cast in another HBO show.
It's that HBO fam.
One of which looks pretty freaking intense. Y'all see the previews for that Westwood one?
No.
No?
No?
What is
shit.
It?
Okay, well.
You don't even know the name of it, it's hard for... I'm going to look it up immediately after we leave here.
Yeah.
Have either of y'all watched...
Westworld. Go check out the trailer for HBO's Westworld.
What is it? Is it a Western?
It is a sci-fi Western, yes.
Ooh, I like that.
That's been attempted before in movie form.
Not like Wild Wild West.
multiple times in movie form and failed every single time. So, but I trust HBO.
Yeah.
Have y'all been watching The Night of?
Of course. Cannot wait for the next episode.
No.
Well, you need to. It's really, really good.
Okay.
Something else to hold you over until next season of Game of Thrones. It's fantastic so far.
How do you watch all these shows at once?
I have very little... I don't have a personal life.
You're watching like 10 shows.
Oh, you have no idea. It's completely out of control.
How do you pick which one to put on?
You just got to know what's good.
I
think Ross just blasts through something and then goes on to the next thing.
Right.
Right?
But I only watch good shit.
Like, you don't watch, like, one episode of Peaky Blinders and then one episode of Marcella and then one episode...
Oh, no. Well, I'll be watching, like, four shows at one time.
Oh, yeah?
Like, right now I'm watching Peaky Blinders. Well, no, that's true. You're right. I'll get through the whole thing before I start the next one. So I just did Peaky Blinders... Then I did Marcella, which I finished last night. Yeah, I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. It takes me forever. Like, I've been on season one of Bloodline for like 4 weeks now.
It takes me a long
time. Oh, what the
too.
Fuck, dude? Bloodline, another fantastic show on Netflix. Everyone should watch.
I get to watch like one episode a night.
What?
Yeah,
what,
dude.
What else are you doing?
Go to the gym, cook, and then I got time for one episode.
I don't do either of those first two things.
See, I just don't sleep very much either, though, so that's plays a big part in it. I'm one of those people that's like, one more episode, then I'll go to sleep. And then I'm like, four more have gone by, and it's 4 a.m. Anyway, I'm Ross Bolin. You can follow me on all social media at WR Bolin. You can follow Barrett at Barrett Dudley on all social media. And you can follow Veronica at Veronica Ruck on all social media. You should subscribe to our other podcasts in the Grand X Network. Our newest show is Dudes Doing Business, featuring our CEO, Madison Wickham, David Ruff, and Joe Nullet. We also have Touching Base with that. First of all, Dudes Doing Business is a podcast about dudes doing business. There's also Touching Base with Postgrad Problems.
That one's about touching base.
From the Cubicle Warriors at postgradproblems.com, and it's about touching base. Then there's the Inside TFM podcast from the delinquents at totalfratmove.com, which you can also listen to if you're sick in the head. Email us ideas, what you'd like us to talk about during the off season. Like I said, we're going to be doing these episodes periodically, kind of checking in here and there as there's enough news to talk about. We'll definitely do one after the Emmys to come back and recap, you know, how many awards Game of Thrones runs away with. As always, subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell all your friends about the show. I know there's a lot of people who are going back through and listening to the podcast as they're actually watching season 6 now. So continue to spread the word. And we appreciate it as always. Thanks for listening.
Later.
Peace. Bye-bye. Hope you find your dad.